The following recording was produced by Christ Redeemer Church of Hanover, New Hampshire. The speaker is Doug Cooper. You may find more information on the church and its various resources on the web at www.christredeemerchurch.org.
Right there on page 5, you'll see a passage from Isaiah chapter 9 printed there. I'm not going to read it right now, but I will read it eventually. So it might be a good idea to just stick your finger in that spot for when we do get there. And what I would like to do now is maybe take about 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so, just to talk to you all about hope, okay? To talk to you about hope, because, man, oh, man, I think we need it. So we have finally, can you believe this? We have finally come to the end of 2020. And honestly, I just cannot help but wondering, standing up here, what everybody thinks about that. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the fact that we've come to the end of 2020? And I suppose there is a few responses that you might have and that you might be having going on in your mind at this very moment as I'm saying these things. For instance, I'll name a few responses that you could possibly have and you could kind of evaluate for yourself. One response might be one of utter relief, like, yes, you know, I cannot wait to put 2020 behind me. I am ready to roll out the red carpet for 2021. Bring it. Come on, let's go 2021, all right? Now, if that's you, I suppose that you could characterize that as an optimistic response, which is positive. It might not be true that everything's going to we're going to turn a corner and everything's going to be hunky-dory. It might not be true, but it's positive. And I would say that I get that. Man, I want to believe it. I want to believe that we're turning a corner. I want it, you know? I would love nothing more than for that to happen. But there's other responses that we might have. Here's another one, quite different from that one. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, come on, Doug, nothing's going to change. Truth is, 2021 might be even worse than 2020, okay? I'm not putting my hope in what you're saying there. And I'll tell you what, I get that response as well. In fact, that might be the one that I actually lean towards, being an Eeyore. And you might describe that if you're going to describe what kind of a response that might be. You might say, hey, well, that's a pessimistic one, I suppose. We'd all like to think that we're realists here, of course, but I don't even know if such a thing is actually, possible. But then there's one more response that I can think of. It's one that says, if I have to hear one more person talking to me about how difficult 2020 has been, I just might scream. I don't want to hear about it anymore. Talk to me about something else, anything. I don't care, Doug. Just not that. And I tell you what, I really get that one. I really get that response. A response of general agitation about the whole thing, the whole kit and the caboodle, which may come as a surprise to you because you hear me up here, if you've been here with us before, talking about these things all the time. I do. I'll admit it. But I promise you, I am definitely tired of talking about these things. I really am. Okay? But the reason why I do, the reason why I keep talking about these things is because all of these things and all of these responses that I'm sharing with you reveal very important things about our hope, our need and our desire for hope. Even though these responses, this is interesting, even though these responses all sound so different from one another, they're actually not so different. They're all, you know, they all have at least one thing in common with one another, and I would argue that they probably have two things in common with one another. They all reveal weariness. Think back through those things. In their own particular way, they all reveal weariness, all of them do, and I would argue that they also reveal our inescapable need for a more substantive and dependable sort of hope. And that's what I'm hoping that we can think about seriously tonight. Now, if you would please look with me at this passage from the book of Isaiah on page 5 there. Look at this promise of hope that Isaiah declares here. And real quick, just a little bit of background here. This is an Old Testament book. Isaiah was a prophet of God. In other words, he was a messenger, kind of like, if you think about, I don't know if they have these around anymore, but homing pigeons. Kind of like a homing pigeon. You know, he would deliver messages from God to the people, and the message that he shares right here is this truly profound one, one that points to a future hope, which is what all hope is, isn't it? All hope is future hope. It's something that hasn't entirely come about just yet, something that we're eagerly awaiting, something that we're looking forward to, kind of like leaning in. And so here's the hope that he delivers to the people from God. And he's, and what he's doing here, he's, if you pay attention to it, he's essentially given us a glimpse. He's just kind of like, he's just pulling the curtain open just enough so that we can see what's to come here. It says this, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Let me just stop right there for a moment. Is it just me? I've really been staying with this verse too for a while. Is it just me, or is there something about the language that's being used in this verse right here that really seems to connect with the 2020 experience? Because a lot of us have felt as though we've been walking around in darkness for a really long time. And I don't want to overstate these things, but in terms, if like, we're at the end of the year, right? So like in terms of a year in review, I think that that's a fair thing to say, that it, things have been pretty dim. It's kind of felt like we've been walking around in this fog that just somehow just refuses to lift, right? And it's disorienting. It's been a disorienting year. And it's been very wearisome. I know that many of you, probably all of you, are very tired. I know I am, but with that in mind, let's keep reading. Let's lean in. Okay. Verse 6. So here's the upshot. Here's the dawning of the light coming our way here. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government, the rule, okay, the dominion will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Lord will accomplish this. And so this right here is an Old Testament Christmas passage. It was written some 700 years before the birth of the Christ child, 700 years. And look at how he describes to these people. So these people are hearing this 700 years in advance. Listen to how he describes this to the people here. Isaiah tells them that this child will one day come and that he will be a ruler. Okay. So what kind of ruler should be our next question? Look back with me at the end of verse 6 there. It says that he will be a Wonderful Counselor. Is foggy of a year as 2020 has been, it's actually cleared up a lot of things, I think. It's cleared the fog on a lot of things, but some really hard things though, not easy things. Maybe it's dawned on you along the way that we actually have more questions as human beings than we have answers, that we have more uncertainty than we have wisdom. And this, to this people walking around in darkness, Isaiah says, just you wait. Just wait. One day, a Wonderful Counselor will emerge, full of wonder, full of wisdom. Or perhaps it's dawned on you over the course of this year that we as a people, we don't seem to possess as much power as we tend to think that we possess. That things can change really easily and put us in some very vulnerable kinds of situations. And to this people walking in darkness, Isaiah says to them, just wait, just you wait. One day, our mighty God will emerge, one possessing real power in the right ways. Or perhaps it's dawned on you this year just how finite you are. Just how fragile our lives can be. Just how little time we have. I mean, that's one that's really struck me. I'm not sure why. I don't know if I can put my finger on why. But just how little time we really have, how precious our time is. And to this people walking in darkness, Isaiah says, you just wait. One day, the everlasting Father will emerge in his kingdom. It will have no ends. Or perhaps it's dawned on you this year what a precious thing peace can be and just how hard it is to get by when you don't have it. And to this people walking in darkness, Isaiah says, you just wait. A day is coming. A new day will one day dawn. And when it comes, a prince will emerge and he will be called the Prince of Peace. What do you think it means to walk in darkness? What do you think it means to walk in darkness? Well, what is darkness? And I'm not trying to get too philosophical here. I'm not trying to be clever. I'm really asking the question, what is darkness? And I think it's pretty simple. The answer is quite simple. Darkness is the absence of light, isn't it? Darkness is the absence of light. If you think 2020 has been tough, just think of these folks that are being spoken to here, okay? These people walked in darkness for 700 years, we're told. And then finally, the light dawned upon them. And so here's the next question. Well, what was that light? What is Isaiah even talking about here? And we're told right here, it's this coming child. It was Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of his gospel, the Apostle John, I mean, he's coming out of the gates like swinging, like he's getting straight to it right away, trying to lay down some of the most essential characteristics of who this Jesus Christ character is. And this is what he says. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Sounds like the beginning of a story, doesn't it? The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Later on in John's gospel, we hear Jesus saying this very same thing about himself. He says, I am the light of the world. Listen to how closely this connects with Isaiah chapter 9. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me, whoever walks with me, many of you, you've been hearing us talking about this idea of walking with God. Whoever's walking with me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, that 700 years of darkness, it wasn't so much about a lack of power. It wasn't so much about a lack of wisdom or a lack of peace. I mean, maybe you think to yourself, if we could just get back those things in 2021 that had been gone, had been missing, then we'll be all right. Then we'll be okay. Then things will be better. Then a new light will dawn upon us. Then we'll be saved. If we could just get some stability back, if we could just get a hold of this virus somehow, if we could just find a winning vaccine, if we could just get the right person in office, if I could just increase my financial security, if I could just do this, if I could just do that, if I could just get a hold of this, if I could just get a hold of that. But there's 700 years of darkness really had nothing to do with these things at all. Were these things involved, these things that I'm talking about? Was this an aspect of their experience of walking in darkness? Well, of course it was. But they were just symptoms, really. Those things weren't the darkness itself. The darkness was really about the absence of light. The trail went cold for them, I think is what you might say. They entered a period of silence. But Isaiah, just at the start of this, offered them this substantive, dependable hope. He said, just you wait. One day the silence will be broken. Just you wait. The true light which will give light to everyone. One day it will come into our world in a way that it has never come before. A child will be born to us and he's going to change everything radically. And his kingdom will last. It will have no end. Set your hope on him. And I would just ask, what have you been putting your hope in? I guess that's one question. But another one is, what are you going to put your hope in 2021? What are you looking to? What's your substantive, dependable hope going to be? That we'll turn a new corner? Get some of our old ways back? We might. That would be great. Again, I'm rooting for that. But we might not. Have you given up on hope, maybe? Has 2020 made a Grinch out of you? Are you left assuming the worst? You know, are you left assuming that around every corner there's a trap door waiting to just swallow you up? Or have you become agitated and indifferent? You don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone. Bah humbug. All right. Quit talking to me about that stuff. I've heard enough of it. I've had it up to here, you know? But get this. There is another way. There is another response. Please consider the words of the old Christmas hymn, O Holy Night. We all know this. I assume we do. O Holy Night. And actually, the lyrics from that song that we all know so well, they come from Isaiah chapter 9. Surprise, surprise. Here's two lines that I've been really sticking on for a little while here. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. I was thinking about having to sing this song, but it's a tough song to sing. Right? So I was just like, I'll just talk about it. We won't sing it, but maybe listen to it later. But a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Well, what's this about? And I'll tell you what it's about. This is about not my response, not your response, not this response or that response. It's about God's response. It's about God's response. The Lord Jesus came to respond to our greatest problem, to overcome the darkness, not the darkness that's out there somewhere, not the boogeyman that's around the corner, the trapdoor, or whatever. He came to overcome the darkness in here. The darkness that resides within us. He came to overcome the greatest curse of all, what the scriptures refer to as the curse of sin and death. How did he do it? He did it by becoming a curse for us. He let his light be snuffed out that we might experience the light of God. We actually read this. The Apostle Paul says this. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is God's response, okay? Different kind of a response that we might have. Almost done here. Question for you. Are you weary? Do you feel weary? I mean, when you hear the lyrics of that song, The Weary World Rejoices, does it not make you go, oh, man, sounds too good to be true, but man, does that sound good? If you're weary, I would suggest that you need the presence of the light of God in your life. And I would dare to say, based upon what the scriptures teach over and over again, that he offers you his light freely. He gladly offers you his light. He came to give you his light. He died that you might experience his light moving in on you, in overcoming the dark corners of your life. It's the only hope, I think, that holds the power, like the hymnist says here, to truly thrill our hearts and to leave us rejoicing. And rejoicing not just because the circumstances around us are so cheery, but to rejoice even in the midst of dark circumstances. To end off, I would, Advent is about being still. It's about listening in silence, anticipating hope. I would encourage you, please, if I said anything that made sense tonight, I hope I said a few things that made sense. Take it with you and dwell on it. Like Mary, ponder these things in your heart. To the God of light, wants you and gave himself that you might know him.